Almighty God, we ask that as we consider the work of your hands, how you have made us in your image, that we would understand the wonderful truths that that proclaims and what it means that we have been made to trust you, to know you, to relate to you. So Lord, teach us, we pray, for the glory of your everlasting name. Amen. Amen. Well, verse 26 of Genesis 1, then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. There are many views today about humanity, about human beings, what they are, what they're not, what they're meant to be like, what they should be. Some say human beings are great, others not. Some say we're useless, while others believe we can do anything we set our minds to. Some say that some human beings are of greater worth than others, but others would disagree. Some say we are moral creatures. Some say there is no such thing as right or wrong. Some philosophers, like the Frenchman Michel Foucault, taught that life is utterly meaningless. And therefore, some have taught along the same lines. They've said, well, as life is meaningless, we have to live life as if there is meaning, as if we had purpose and direction. And that's incredibly futile, isn't it? Let's pretend to have meaning when we do not have meaning, is what they're saying. Another Frenchman, Ernest Renan, he illustrates this understanding in this way. He says, we are living off the scent of an empty vase. There are no flowers. We want there to be flowers. We want them to be beauty. We want the aroma to be there. But we're just an empty vase. There is no purpose, no meaning, no beauty. Then there are some atheists, like Richard Dawkins, who admit that without God, there is no absolute standard of right or wrong. He believes a great deal in humanity, that unguided, it can provide the standard instead. Journalist Greg Sheridan, in his book God is Good for You, is not convinced. He writes, I have less faith in humanity by itself than Dawkins does. What of utilitarians like the Australian Peter Singer, who is now a professor at Princeton? He takes atheism to its logical conclusions. He states, for example, in his book Rethinking Life and Death, that human babies are not born self-aware or capable of grasping their lives over time. They are not persons, he says. And he goes on to argue, saying, it would be morally and perfectly sensible to kill babies born with certain disabilities, especially if their families did not want them. He is a utilitarian. If something is not useful, not utilized, then it can be dismissed or thrown away. There are many views about humanity. But how do we know which human being is right? Could they be wrong? Everyone makes mistakes, don't they? What we need is somebody who is external to us to tell us who we are. And fortunately, God does exactly that in his word. He tells us we are made in his image. And I want to help you see three good things about this. There is much more I could say, but after some helpful feedback after my last sermon, that 7 points was a bit overwhelming. I thought they were really good points. That's why I brought them to you. I'm just going to have three today. But there's lots of things I don't have time to mention. So we are, thanks Sandy, intentional beings, relational beings, and purposeful beings. Thanks. Firstly, we are intentional beings. A dictionary will tell you, intentional is when something is done on purpose. A thesaurus will fill that out and tell you it means deliberate, calculated, conscious, planned, meant, thought out in advance. This past week, you will have made a lot of intentional decisions. Oh, I'm hungry, I'd better eat. Or I haven't heard from someone in a while, I'll give them a call and see how they are. You've made a lot of choices. So notice from Genesis 1 that there's nothing haphazard about God making humanity. I mean, look at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind." God intended to make us, and he did. We're not an accidental byproduct of creation. I mean, can you imagine a woman giving birth to a baby and going, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that." No, God has purposely, intentionally chosen to birth us, if you like, bring us into this world. That means that you are not an accident. You're not just a random collection of molecules that have somehow happened to come together to create you. You are not an accident. We need to hear that today, because there's so many messages telling us that we are just a random freak accident of nature. God's creative work, God's work in creating us, is not like my gardening. You might have found this before, but you put compost down somewhere and then a few weeks later there's a tomato plant that turns up and you go, "I wasn't expecting that. That was not planned. It's good, but it wasn't planned." When God makes us, he chooses willfully to do so. And the Bible's full of wonderful words to describe how God made us. So from Job 31, he fashioned you. He spent time putting you together, if you like. From Isaiah, he is a potter and we are the clay. From Psalm 139, he fearfully and wonderfully made us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows the hairs on your head. And even if you don't have any hair, he still knows how many hairs you had. It's wonderful. It's amazing. God is this careful craftsman. He's a masterful at what he does. He chose to make you. He chose to make everyone else. And how often we forget that he has made every single person around us. And how often we treat others badly. And we badmouth them, or we crush them, or we insult them. They have been made in God's image just as much as you and I have been. We often forget Proverbs 22, verse 2. The rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is maker of them all. So no one is an accident according to God, the Creator. You matter to him. This might be something you really need to hear this morning. You matter to God. You might have been put down this past week. Somebody might have rejected you in a deed or look or word. They might have insulted you. They might have belittled you in many ways, all kinds of ways, horrible ways. But you matter to the Creator. He made you. You matter so much to him. Trust his word. Trust what he says, that he made you. And when you know that you have been made by God, that you matter to him so much, you can look up at the night sky and think, wow, the God who flung stars into space. You think about it. It's just awesome thinking about how big the universe is and that he's made me. And while the universe declares his glory, it can't relate to the way I can relate to him through his son, the Lord Jesus. But there's more we must notice about God's intent. This is something I don't know that I've really noticed before. But God primes a whole creation around us. So look at chapter 1, browse it with me. He spends the first 3 days laying down crucial foundations for life. So day one, there is light and there is day. Day two, there is sea and there is sky. Day three, there are dry land and plants. It's a bit like a watercolour artist who puts down a sort of brown or green wash for the earth and a blue wash for the sky before filling out all the details and putting life and trees and people, whatever, into the painting. Then it's on day four that God takes light and darkness and turns them into bodies of stars in the heaven to give us day and night. On day five, the seas are filled with swarms of living creatures and the skies are filled with birds. On day six, the land is filled with living creatures, great and small, tame and wild. All of it is good, but it's not yet complete. Then God said, "Let us make humankind." Do you see? God prepares everything. He puts all the foundations down before he sticks us into his creation. Think of parents or preparing for, well, parents to be preparing to have a child. They get everything in order. There's a whole list of things: clothes, prams, cots, make sure their relatives have all the right equipment and so forth in case of emergencies and changing nappies and all that sort of thing. But they do everything to prepare for the arrival of this little one, to welcome into the world a little boy or little girl. That's what God does with the whole of creation. He gets everything in order before bringing us in and placing us in his garden. We're the pinnacle of his creative works. We're the cherry on top, if you like. And his word tells us it is very good. So God intended us to be. We are significant to him because he made us. More than we might ever dare believe, actually. We really ought to get to know him. Well, secondly, God tells us, his word tells us, that we are relational. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image." Approximately 2,471,000 babies are born each week. And each child bears the image of their makers, their father and their mother. The newborn that got the most attention was Archie, the new son of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. And in time, Archie, I haven't seen pictures though, he will come to look like his parents, and people will say, he looks just like his father or like his mother. In other words, it will be very clear who he belongs to. So when the Bible tells us we're made in God's image, it's firstly telling us that we belong to God. It is good that we do. He has made us. We are his. Last Wednesday morning, we had 15 or so children from the childcare centre just next door come over to share morning tea with some of us. We sang some songs, we shared some food, we did stuff at the back. And I told them about God. That's something we always do when we have them over. When I asked them, "Who made you?" None of the kids replied how they were made, which could have been quite awkward and funny at the same time. Nor did they say, "Oh, some man and some woman just made me." No, they said, "My mum and my dad made me." There's possession, isn't there? There's relationship. They spoke about who they belong to. "I belong to my parent, my mum, my dad. They made me." Except for one four-year-old boy who, this was very brave of him, said, "I made myself." Which, yeah, how do you respond? I mean, I said, "Well, that's not quite right." And I left it at that. But, I mean, we laugh at his comments because we each of us know that we did not choose to be conceived. We did not choose to be put together. We did not choose to be born. Others made that decision for us. We didn't choose to exist, yet here we are. And the Bible tells us that God has made us and brought us into his world. So, as I mentioned, we're not some freak accident of nature. And did you know our bodies are made up of approximately 7 billion, billion, billion atoms? That's 7 with a lot of zeros. You can see it all on the front of the beacon, if you like. That's 7 times 10 to the 27. That's a ridiculous number. That's how many atoms we're made up of, and that's not saying what makes up atoms either. We haven't been randomly, haphazardly put together, but God has so made us, and we were so. We are beautifully complex in ways we cannot really grasp. And even when we grasp how beautifully complex we are, we so often forget to praise our Creator and to glorify His name. Now, all of this means that we belong to God and not to ourselves. It also means we are not autonomous beings, as in we were not created to live apart from Him, because He is... Sorry, that was dramatic. We're not autonomous beings. We are not created to live apart from Him, because He is our true parent. Some of you may know the heartache that comes when a grown child of yours willfully rejects you and wants nothing more to do with you. Jesus tells a parable about the father with the two sons who do exactly that, doesn't he? The younger son asks his father, "Give me my inheritance," which is another way of the younger son saying, "I wish you were dead so I could get your stuff." Well, it is. It is, bluntly put. But just don't forget the older son is saying exactly the same thing. He believes he has to work incredibly hard to earn his father's favour, his father's stuff. That's the same way of saying, "I wish you were dead so I could have your stuff, because I've earned it. You owe me," is what the older son is saying. Both sons are rejecting their father and only want his inheritance, his money. I mean, it's horrible, but this is what happens in our world. And this is, if you like, a picture that the Bible gives us about how each of us has treated God. God has made us to be our Father, yet we have said, "Nah, oh, but I'll gladly take all the stuff that you've made, thanks." So we love creation, but we forget the Creator. We live lives as if He wasn't there. We revel in creation, but we don't revel in God. But God never desires us to be so callous, so hard-hearted towards Him. In the same parable that Jesus tells about the father with the two sons, the father representing God runs to his younger son, who has finally realized that he belongs, the best place for him to be is with his father. And the father embraces him and reinstates him. And then the father goes out to his older son and pleads with him to come home and to celebrate. The father wants both of his sons to be with him, as it is right and good and proper. God never wants us to run away, but we do. But he always desires that we come home to him. And it's why he sends Jesus, the perfect son, the perfect older brother, if you like, to come to us to bring us back to where we truly belong. God is our Father. He made us. It is right for us to be with him. Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. We won't find belonging unless we are brought back to God by the Son. Being made in God's image also means that we are moral beings. As God has made us for a relationship with Him, we are accountable to Him. He is our Father. He determines the parameters for us to live by. So just a quick example, He creates land and He puts us on land to say, "You are to live on the land. You're not the birds of the air, you're not the fish of the sea, you're not the stars in the heavens. I've made this land and I've put you on it. You live by. These are the good parameters where you can have life." And as God is good, He reveals to us what is good and what is evil. Now, parents are glad when their children listen to them and do good things, in their name, if you like. On Mondays, we have something called Monday Meals, where we provide meals with the crew to people who might be homeless or without community or going through difficult times, young and old, men and women and families as well. And 2 weeks ago, a mum came along with her son, Jet. Jet's 7 years old. And now Jet had seen someone living rough and had asked his mum, "Is there anything I can do to help this person or people like this?" Jet's mum talked about it with him. "This is what you could do. This is how we could help." And under her guidance, Jet put together these gift bags to give to men and women at Monday Meals. It was quite incredible, all these toiletries, and there was even artwork that he'd gotten from his classmates because he'd got them on board to, "Can we draw something for men and women just as a gift? We just want to encourage you. We just want to give these things to you. That is such a good thing to see." And he went around giving them to the men and women who were here. Now, his mum was so proud of him. It was just wonderful to watch. She kind of stood at a distance while Jet went round. And Jet was proud as well. Not only really because, I think he was proud because he was handing stuff out, but he was proud because he kept on looking back at his mum to make sure that he was doing the right thing. It was kind of the odd sort of glance going, like, "What do I do here?" And his mum was going, "Come on, you can do it. Yep, that's right. Keep doing that." It's wonderful to see, just wonderful. His mum was affirming him in the good that he was doing. His mum was delighting in him in the good. And Jeb was delighting that he was pleasing his mother as much as anything. Do you realize how glad God is when you trust him and you do good in his name? He is pleased with you. This is wonderful. Just as a parent is pleased in their child when they do good, when they listen to their wisdom, when they do right things, so God is so pleased with us. He is the loving Father who beams when we do right and good in his name. This is a wonderful truth we need to really cherish. I mean, so often we don't do what is good. We disobey his word and we think, and we feel bad. Of course we do, because that's not who we were made to be. Through Christ, we have been redeemed and enabled and can say no to what brings death and yes to what brings life, and God is pleased when we obey. And we know and experience that blessing of knowing we are doing his will. Living with God is good. Living apart from him is not good. God made us for himself. We are intentional, relational, and purposeful, finally, beings. Purposeful. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." God's command to fill the earth is not only encouraging us to have children, but more broadly speaking, to bring life to the earth just as he has brought life to the earth. "Just as I filled creation, so you are to flourish it," is one of the words that's used elsewhere. Bring life according to the ways that I've prescribed. Do what you can to create life, enhance life, flourish it, sustain it, save it. Speak words that bring life towards others. Build communities where people are loved and can love in return. Live under me. It is very, very good. Now, we are going to explore more about how we are purposeful beings in the coming weeks. But for now, let's take this away from Genesis 1. God chose to make you and I and everyone else in his image so that we might relate to him and also imitate him. So if you never knew your earthly parents for whatever reason, with God, you have a Father in heaven who loves you as his child, who made you to be his child. If your earthly parents never delighted in you, if you could never meet their expectations and you've lived under that, You can know that your Father in heaven delights in you simply for the fact that he made you. And if you trust in his Son, he has redeemed you through the Lord Jesus. If you were never good enough, you have a Father in heaven who wants to guide you in the things that are good. If your parents were horrible to you, you have a Father in heaven who is not horrible. He is good, he loves you, and he sent his Son to die for you so that you might have life through him. And even if you have loving parents, you'll know that they fall short many times. They will have let you down in different ways. You too can know that with God you have a Father in heaven who will never let you down, who can always be trusted, who is wanting and waiting for you to talk to him and to trust him. Only with God can you know who you are and what you've been made for. Well, let's pray. Almighty God, we stand before you as your creatures, conscious of how tiny we are in this huge universe, yet also conscious how great your love is towards us. We praise your holy name that not only have you made us, but you've also given us parameters by which to live by and to have life. You've also redeemed us in and through your Son, who came to die for us, to show us your love to save us from death. Father, help us to marvel at the creation around us that speaks of you. And help us to thank you each and every day for all the things that we see. And above all, help us to praise you that you have made us for yourself and done everything required to bring us into a right relationship with you. We praise your holy and everlasting name. Amen. Amen.